Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Welcome to another edition of Out There. My name is TJ Ryan. You know, we have a guest that somebody I've known for, I don't even know how long it's been, probably about 100 years.
That doesn't say much for my age.
I'm just kidding. She's a person, one of my favorite people, absolutely favorite people that I get to talk to and just a joy to be around. Her name is Mary. Should I just call you Mary? Or do you want me to call you Steve?
I think Mary will work for me.
But we won't use your last name, I'm saying. You want me to just keep it at that, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Because I try to keep it discreet if people want that. Mm-hmm. But I've known Mary. How long do you think we've known each other, Mary?
I'm going to say it's probably 4 or 5 years now, don't you think?
Boy, I've been gone. It really seems longer.
I don't think that's a good thing.
No. It just seems like I've known you my whole life.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant time was dragging by.
And so... And I don't know, it's just some people, you know, I feel I have connections with a lot of folks, but with Mary, there's nothing else like it. She is just the type of person I can talk to, and she's open-minded, and she's so good-natured. At least that's the act that she portrays, and she does it pretty well.
Can you write some of these things down and sign them, please?
Normally, I give her a really hard time, and I told her on the podcast, I tend to back off a little bit because I don't want people to think I'm a total jerk.
I'm not sure I'm believing you yet, but we'll see how things go.
Well, we razz each other quite a bit. And, you know, and my mission, I guess, on this is to kind of get the information out and not try to be as much of a comedian, although I love goofing around.
Yeah.
And so do you. You're kind of silly like me. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why we get along so well.
That could be.
Now, Mary, you live in Marquette, which is, those of you listening outside the area, this is in Upper Michigan. Upper Michigan is part of the United States, North America.
So few people know that.
Well, but there might be, who knows, with a podcast where people could be listening. That's somebody right. In Spain could be listening right now.
Yeah.
So, and you were originally from Lower Michigan, and you moved up here.
I'm from Calumet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You went downstate, yeah. And then you came back up.
Right.
Calumet is in Upper Michigan, those of you that don't know. Now, you have a daughter. How old is your daughter?
She is 12.
Okay. And recently you took this job where you're at in Marquette, because you and I used to kind of work together down here in Escanaba.
Yes, quite a lot.
Yeah. I would run into Mary a lot, usually with my car, and then I'd keep...
But I kept getting up, so I'm like a weeble.
That's pretty good. But no, and it was just, you know, you form this relationship with people. How does that start, you know? And it just continues to, I know when I call you, I just feel really good and comfortable talking to you.
You know, and I've often wondered how that did start, but, you know, we just have those conversations off air and, you know.
I guess I like the fact that you're easygoing, you're good-natured, you're always kind of laughing about stuff, you can laugh at yourself, and
you don't... Spend a lot of time doing that, actually.
But, I mean, you don't take life too seriously.
Right.
And, you know, they say laughter is the best medicine.
And I believe it.
And you have given me much of that. And I... No, I mean, just our conversations, and we both laugh, and I feel so good.
Yeah, me too.
When that happens. So I guess it's equal in that respect.
Uh-huh.
So thank you, Mary.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You truly are a great person in my slanted view of things. No, you're really wonderful.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So, you know, you moved away, and we hadn't had contact in a while, and then I finally got a hold of you, and we told you about the podcast, and mm-hmm. was trying to get you to see if you'd want to come on, because you told me about some ghost things. But you've always kind of had an interest in these kind of things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep, I always have. I've always known people who have said that they've had experiences. And I hadn't had any until, you know, I was in high school. But I knew people for many years who had different experiences. No matter where they lived, they always had some kind of ghost-like experiences. So it's always been of interest to me.
Now, is it just ghosts, or are you interested in other things outside of that?
Well, you know what? I'm interested in all kinds of things. I mean, you know, you and I have talked about all kinds of different things that happen and why things happen and how they seem to work together. All those kind of things. All the... powers in the universe and how that power is channeled, I guess, has always been of interest to me, no matter how people believe it happens.
Right. And I'm going to just come out with this. And Mary is of a Catholic faith.
Yeah.
And she is a very, very much a practicing Catholic.
Yeah.
And I would be labeled as what some people would call as this new age wacko.
I've never seen wacko actually on the end of it officially, but you know.
And I'm really not new age because I don't follow anything. I just follow my heart and what nature tells me, and kind of more Native American, I think, some of the beliefs I have. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because you start comparing them with other people and they're so similar.
They are very similar.
If people are open to see that. And that's what I like about Mary. Not knocking your faith or anything, but I know I've known a lot of Catholics that are kind of closed off to things. Mm-hmm. And I can understand, and I respect that. But Mary's open to just about anything. That's what's cool about it.
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at things from all sides and make a decision on what your own belief is. And so hearing other people's opinions of it doesn't necessarily change mine, but it gives me, I think, more strength in my own position.
And maybe it gives you some answers as to some of the unknown things.
Right.
Because there really are no answers. Nobody's coming out and saying, you know, what the answers are.
Yeah.
And this has always intrigued me. Well, there's got to be an answer.
Well, and I think, too, though, that as we have talked about many, many times, all the religions and things that we've talked about are very, very similar. And I can look at my religion, my faith, and I can see that you and I may be practicing the same thing. We just call it something different.
I can agree with that, too. We use different words, probably, different terminology.
Yeah.
We've talked about so many different things. And, you know, I'm curious about these, and I've had these experiences. I've shared with you pretty much all of my experiences that have happened to me.
Yeah.
And what was your impression when I started telling you that stuff? Did you think he's just wacky? Is he?
No, not at all, because I have known people who have had experiences similar to the ones that you talked about. So, I mean, it wasn't, you know, as you've mentioned, sometimes there are Catholics who are very close to hearing those kind of stories. But to me, I've heard them. I would like a forum to talk about them. And I don't believe that I'm going to get hit by lightning. So I don't know. There's a bus moving pretty fast past my office, so who knows?
Well, you know, and I don't try to get into the... I'm a very spiritual person.
Right.
So are you.
Yeah.
In different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we both kind of see the Creator, God, if you will, in a similar light. And how do you, I mean, do you mind mentioning that, how you see that? Is that too personal?
No, not at all. I mean, I believe that the higher power is God. I believe that all of the things that you hear, you know, one of our favorite, yours and my favorite publications, I guess you would call it, is The Secret. And you know, I believe everything in that, on the CD or on the in the book that talks about a higher power. You may think of it as something else. I think of it as God. I see the parallels between what's in that book and what's in the Bible. I think that everybody, you know, maybe people look at the Bible or look at Catholicism or any other organized religion and say, well, I don't want to follow all these rules. This is what I believe. Well, we all tend to believe the same thing. And you can write it in a book called The Secret, or you can read it from the Bible, but it's still the same thing.
For the most part.
Ish.
I mean, well, here's the big difference that I've, and this is just my belief, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but the God I see is not a God of judgment.
Right.
And it's a God of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some religions would make it seem like it is a God of judgment, you know?
Well... Okay, but what does that mean? I mean, at the end of your life, something, you know, you believe that you may come back because you got to get it right.
Well, you have a choice.
Or you have to work towards a higher
level
of love. Well, what's the difference between that and me going and seeing St. Peter at the pearly gates and having him say, maybe you didn't do this, maybe you got to go back and do something else. Not necessarily go back on earth, but go to wherever.
And where would that be, Mary?
I don't know. I mean, we call it purgatory. Who knows what that is?
Is it Disneyland? Or?
You know, purgatory probably is Disneyland for me. I can't stand that.
See, and it's funny how you put that together and can see that, and it's very similar, I guess, to what I'm saying. And I do admit, I believe in reincarnation. I don't know why. I always have.
Yep.
And to me, there seems to be some evidence with the stories that people have told under hypnosis, recalling their past life.
Yeah.
And then if that does exist, you got to ask, well, why?
Yeah.
Why would that exist?
Mm-hmm.
And I've read books about it, and part of some of the theories are that we kind of learn. We're here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you learn it all in one time around? You know, so maybe it takes several times.
Right.
And this loving being has allowed us that opportunity to learn and love and find love in a greater level.
Right.
You agree with all that?
Well, you know, I don't know if I have mixed feelings about reincarnation, because I do believe that, you know, a loving God gives us a chance. And maybe that's what purgatory is. It means you got to go back and do it again. Keep going or keep trying until you get it straight. I don't know. I don't have that answer. And I know that, you know, as far as Catholicism goes, they'd say, ooh, you're not taking communion this week. But I still think that you have to be able to explore some of these things. And you know what? They don't have an answer either. So until we get there, until we see God, we ain't got the answers.
Right. We got to take a break, and I'm talking to Mary, and we'll continue this talk in just a moment on Out There.
Out There.
Out There. Out There. Out
There. What do you think you're doing?
Lord? Is that you? Is that you, Lord?
No, it's your upstairs neighbor, Bill.
Well, then, what are you doing? You sound like the Lord.
How do you know what the Lord sounds like?
I don't know. I just had an idea in my head. I thought maybe he'd sound that way.
How do you know it's a he?
Well, I didn't. I assumed that, you know. Pictures.
Well, I just wanted to let you know. Turn that stereo down. It's too loud. I'm trying to sleep.
Well, how do you get your voice like that? I mean, is that a birth defect, or what's going on with that?
It's Out There.
Out There.
Out There. Out
There. Welcome back to another edition of Out There. And, you know, and Out There, I talk about the unknown, you know, and there we go. Talking about the afterlife. Who knows about that, right?
Right.
And I want to be very careful how I approach subjects as far as religion, because I know that's a touchy subject with people. So I try to, but, you know, there's so many of them out there.
Yeah.
You know, so. And I think there's probably truth in all of them, some
right.
truth in all of them.
And there's so much to learn about them. I mean, I haven't scratched the surface of learning about Catholicism. And so, you know, maybe some of the things I'm saying are absolutely wrong, but, you know, this is what I believe at the time.
But for now, that's you're
I'm
practicing.
Doing the best I can. I'm not doing it with malice.
You know what, though? When I was a practicing Lutheran, if you want to call it that, I guess. I don't know how much I practiced it. But I would quote stuff from my backside, you know. Oh, I'd pull it right out of there. Oh, yeah, you know, Jesus. And so we all become like, we think we know more than we really do.
Right.
Unless you truly study it like the scholars do. But even then, there's different interpretations.
Well, and there's so many different translations. And a lot of, I really like the priest at the church that I attend now. And he, a lot of times will talk about the translation of certain words that, you know, like the word mercy doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you did something bad and I have to, you know, make it better for you. It means all kinds of different things, like, you know, look on me, open your heart to me, and that's very different. You know, the if you say, you know, have mercy on me versus, you know, take me into your heart, that's a very different thing.
Absolutely.
And one's much more positive than the other, and I think if people knew enough about these things, they may look into them more deeply and think about them more deeply.
Well said, Mary.
Oh, thank you. I wonder where I pulled that from.
She's quick-witted, too. That's what I love about Mary. She's very quick-witted. Now, moving on to, you mentioned The Secret, and I've hinted about it.
Yep.
And I'm trying to do that with this site. I don't want to force anything on anybody, because who wants that?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm probably being more honest about things in this interview than I have been, because I really haven't had anybody to bounce this off of who really understands me, like you do.
Yeah.
But I agree with you on The Secret. Can you relay some of the things that you like about that? Maybe people are interested in this.
Well, one of the things that I think about The Secret is that it really genuinely talks about the strength that we all have within us. And that if we put our minds to it in a positive way, you know, whatever you focus on, you're going to get. And the Bible says the same thing. Whatever you focus on, you're going to get. What you talk about is what you're going to have. And, you know, The Secret is basically comes at it from a positive viewpoint about how you can change your life in a positive way just by focusing on it and believing that you can do it. And, you know, we've all heard that we only use 10% of our brain power, and I believe that we can use more of it if we start to focus on things and we can really make things happen. And I don't think it's any kind of magic. I think it's something, you know, if you want to make it even more spiritual, it's something that God gave us. It's a gift that he gave us to use, and we have to learn how to use it. But we spend our time so distracted with 57,000 other things and keeping ourselves busy, whether it's meaningful or not, that we don't take the time to focus our brains and our own powers on what we can bring to ourselves.
Now, you said 57,000. How do you know exactly?
I counted them.
Now, so the thing is, what you're saying, if I understand this correctly, mm-hmm. playing the part of the guy who has no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me if I focus and think about something long enough and put the right feeling into it that I can actually bring it forward?
I believe that you can.
And this could relate to good or bad things?
Yes.
So when something bad happens to me, I shouldn't turn around and blame the Creator?
No.
Whose fault is it?
I don't think we have to lay blame anywhere.
Well, but who do you think brought it on?
Well, I think that we bring things on ourselves. You know, I don't think God's up there going, aha, watch this. You know, I can get him. I'll show you. But I do think that, you know, look at people in your own life. I can point to people in my own life who, you know, are constantly talking about how sore and hurt and, oh, I've got this wrong and that wrong. Yeah, and they're never going to get better because they want to sit there. That's what they want to do. They're going to continue to bring those things into their life. Other people I know are very positive and say, you know what? I don't get sick. I don't think about getting sick. I'm not going to have that. And they're not sick. They're healthy.
You know that, and I do that too. It's like when I start feeling a little bit run down or a little ill,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of learned this from another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure, huh?
Well, we are rather smart.
And the thing is that she said, I just tell myself I don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for this illness. I'm not going to allow it to come in.
Right.
And there's another guy, a man,
mm-hmm.
I learned also he would get, because I was talking about going to a chiropractor, something uh-huh. I believe that's important.
Yeah.
But he says, you know what? I don't go. And I say, really? And he says, I don't even think about it. If I got a creak in my neck, I stop thinking about it. I worry too much. I focus on my work,
mm-hmm.
and it goes away.
Yep.
And so now maybe he's setting himself up for something else down the road, but I think that is part of it, certainly.
I do, too. If you sit there and think about, you know, that pain in your neck from sitting at your computer, and you continue to think about it and continue to think about it, that's all you're going to feel because that's where your focus is. So, I mean, I think it sounds oversimplified, and, you know, probably we are oversimplifying it, but I just really believe that you can change your life by the way you view it.
You know, the thing is, one of the best things I thought I learned from The Secret,
mm-hmm.
it's a movie. You can go to thesecret.com. Those of you listening, I think it's thesecret.com.
Yeah.
Or you can Google it. You'll find it.
Yep.
I always knew it was your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how much your emotion had to mm-hmm. be involved in it. You have to feel it.
Yep.
The more you can feel it, it's yep. almost like you're creating it.
Right.
The more you make it real.
Yep.
So if you can take the thought and stay focused on that in the morning and mm-hmm. at night and sometime during the day, kind of yep. like meditation,
mm-hmm.
and then put that feeling into it,
yep.
things will start to speed up and come forward. Now, what can you attribute anything in your life that happened when you did that?
You know, I don't know that I have any. You know, I know I've had some small things happen that I attributed to it, and I can't even think of them off the top of my head. But there's several of us in my office who talk about it on a regular basis. But I do think that in general, well, I have to say, getting this job. You know, mm-hmm. you and I both know I wasn't very happy in my last position. And
in your previous lifetime, yes.
Yeah, we can call it that. Seems like that.
Yes.
But, you know, there were really negative things going on around me and negative people around me, and I needed to get out of that. And, you know, this job came around 3 times before I finally said, you know what, that's the job I want. And, you know, I got it. So I just, you know, that's one of the things. But I think that overall, when you continue to keep a positive attitude and try to remember, and it's hard to remember all the time because, you know, I'm as busy as many other people or as distracted. And so to remember to focus on it, you have to train yourself to do it sometimes.
Right.
But I really think that overall my life has been so much more positive and, you know, and everything's connected. You know, the new job, of course, that I love really makes a difference.
And when you're doing that job and you love it and you're happy, it just seems to get better and better.
Right.
Doesn't it?
Yep.
You know, and I can
ball
give.
Rolling.
I was going to say I can give an example. My buddy and I, we run a DJ company, just a small DJ company.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first start things up, you're always excited. You're really excited about it. You're happy and you feel good about it. And the phone rings off the hook.
Right.
And I noticed when I'm caught up in other things, because I still love doing it. I love basically doing all the stuff I do. Mm-hmm. But you just get stressed out sometimes.
Right.
You got to beat appointments and deadlines and a little bit of pressure. And so then you kind of don't look forward to doing the other job.
Mm-hmm.
And then the phone stops ringing.
Right.
And then the minute I go talk to my buddy, and this has happened, I can't even count how many times, Mary. The minute I start talking to him, by the way, he says hi to you.
Oh, good. Hi to him.
But the minute we both get excited about it again, the phone, I'll get 4 calls that day.
Yep.
Where does that come from?
Yep.
Coincidence?
I think that's what it is.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
No, I don't either.
I
don't think anything is a coincidence.
There's
really
an energy around all of us.
Yep.
And we can move it in whatever direction we want.
Right.
And the way I understand it, some people say the universe, some people say God. Well, God is the universe.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give you what you want,
right,
what you desire, what you truly desire.
And
be careful of what you wish for.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, I think for people who think, oh my gosh, that's, you know, against, you know, a religious teaching or whatever, it is in the Bible, ask and you shall receive. And,
right,
you know, I mentioned to you before we came on that this morning I watched a show, and knowing full well that I was going to be talking to you this afternoon, I watched this show, and I didn't really feel like watching it, but I thought, you know, you always feel better once you watch it. So I turned it on, and it was talking about, you know, saying what you want. Say it out loud. Don't just think it. Say it out loud,
mm-hmm,
and say it as though you already have it. Not, you know, I'm going to at some point, or I wish, or say it as though you already have it, and that's in the Bible. So
it is.
Yes, it is. And I wish I could tell you where. But I'm going to order the CDs, and I will tell you where.
You're such a scholar.
I know. But I heard it, and it stuck with me.
And the great thing I like about you too, Mary, is that you're honest. You don't take credit for something that really, you know, obviously some people would. So.
No, I couldn't.
Talking to Mary, we're going to continue speaking with her. She's a very dear friend of mine. And I don't know if she feels the same way, but I feel that way towards her. And we're going to talk about some ghost stories coming up in just a moment as we continue on Out There.
Out There.
Out There. Out There. Out There.
Hi there. This is Casper the Friendly Ghost, and you're listening to all the rosiness and happiness and wonderfulness in the world on a program called Out There. Doesn't that make you want to, Ralph? Nobody's that perfect. Come on, come on. You're listening to TJ talking to his guest this week, and he seems like an okay guy, but I don't know. I don't know. Oh, I'm not that friendly of a ghost. Hey, go to the home site, www.braverinstitute.com, and check out Way Braver's blog and podcast. All from Braver Institute.
It's Out There.
Out There.
Out There. Out.
Welcome back to another edition of Out There. TJ Ryan, your host, along with Mary. And Mary is originally from a town called Calumet, which was at one time one of the biggest towns in Upper Michigan.
Yes, it was.
Those of you that aren't familiar with, probably most of you aren't familiar with our history up here, but this is really an isolated area. People that live up here are called Upers. And
yeah.
Why do they call them that? Because it's from the UP. And also, a lot of us that live up here, and I was kind of like this when I was younger before I went into broadcasting, we speak like we have an accent, you know, and that comes from our Finlander. But the great thing about these European roots that were taking place here, hardworking people.
Yes.
Very good people.
Yep.
Very, as much as we kind of laugh at them. The Yoper there. Yeah, Barry, how you doing there?
Well, you know, they have to be strong to live here, so.
And so those are the pioneers that kind of set things up. Calumet was huge. Matter of fact,
yep.
George Gipp,
mm-hmm,
was from Calumet. He's the most famous resident, or one of them, from Upper,
yep,
Michigan.
Right.
And he played, he was the Gipper,
yeah,
if you remember Newt Rockne. So that's a little background, and that's where Mary, wasn't there a big fire in Calumet, too?
Are you talking about the Italian Hall fire?
Or they faked the fire.
Yes.
They faked
the fire, yes.
And that place is supposed to be haunted.
Well, it's actually not there anymore. They tore it down.
Okay. If somebody was, I guess I got to get my facts straight.
Well, I mean, it was right across the street from the Calumet Theater, just down half a block, and they think the Calumet Theater is haunted. But the Italian Hall, there was a huge, I mean, it was very controversial, but they ended up tearing it down.
That was something to do with, like, unions, weren't
they? It had to do with...
people were trying to form a union.
Went on strike. And so they, the company had a Christmas party for the kids on New Year's, or on Christmas Eve, and during the party, someone yelled fire, and the doors opened in instead of out.
Mm.
And so as the kids got to the bottom of the stairway and tried to get out, they couldn't get out, and many, many died. I think 113
kids. And many feel it was deliberate.
Many
there was, no fire. Right?
Yeah, and you know, there's a couple of books out now, and one, I think, agrees that it was deliberate, and one says, you know, that's a bunch of hooey. But, you know, I've always grown up believing that it was deliberate.
Mm-hmm. So you grew up in a very small town, mm-hmm. isolated area.
Yep.
So, and in a way, don't you think it's kind of a gift? Nothing against somebody who lives in a city, but you see things differently, maybe, living in a small community?
To me, it's a gift. I think you learn a lot of things living in a small community. You know, people say you don't have the opportunity, but you do. You make the opportunities. And, you know, depending on what opportunities you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that we had the opportunity to really run free and, you know, ride our bikes,
yeah.
go places without worry.
Outdoors.
And
yeah,
it's not the same anymore.
No. So, Mary, let's talk about your dad. When did he pass away?
In 1980.
Okay. And how long after that did you start to feel his presence?
Probably about 10 days.
How old were you at the time?
I was 16.
You must have been completely crushed when your dad passed.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
You were close to your dad?
Yep, I was very close to him, and he died 4 days after his 50th birthday.
Oh.
And so his birthday, he died on September 15th, and for his birthday, I remember feeling bad about it because I played basketball at the time for my high school, and we had a game on the night of his 50th birthday, and we were having a little party for him because he was ill, and we knew he was going to Mayo Clinic on the weekend, but I wasn't able to be at the party, but my brother and sister and I got together and bought him a really nice watch that had all the alarms and stopwatches and all that kind of stuff. And so about 10 days after he died, I heard this noise in our house, and I was the only one there, and it was the alarm on that watch, and it was flashing the date and time that he died.
Wow.
And ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing.
Were you frightened?
Oh, goodness, yes. I mean, you know, the hair stands up on the back of your neck and you get this little shiver up your spine. But, yeah, I was a little freaked out.
Now, that was the first encounter you had.
Yeah.
And then there were many, many more after that?
Well, you know, that one happened on a regular basis. Not like every few days or whatever, but, you know, every once in a while, there goes the darn watch, and it always flashed the date and time that he died.
And you knew at the time it was him?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did your mom or anybody else sense anything?
No, and my mother was actually jealous. She kept saying, well, I wish he would come to me. Well, you know what? I'd be more than happy to send him there, but I don't know how to do that. So we had many other things. And at that time, you know, probably in the year or two following his death, I was home alone a lot. My brother and sister were both gone away to college. And my mother, you know, after a period of time, started traveling and working. And, you know, so I was there in the house a lot. And, you know, when she traveled, I was home by myself. And, I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but there was always, I had an intercom because my room was up on the top floor, on the third floor of my mother's mm-hmm. house. So we had an intercom downstairs, and I would hear, you know, someone calling my name. And I would think, oh, my mom's home. Oh, not so much. There's nobody there.
Nobody was there.
No, and that happened many, many times.
Did it sound like a male voice or a female voice? Or?
You know, you couldn't tell. It was like you could hear off in the distance. And, of course, you know, these intercoms were probably from the 1970s. They weren't like they are today that you can hear real clear. It was just this old kind of walkie-talkie thing that we had at our house. And so I couldn't really discern a voice. But there was, you know, there was a lot of, just a lot of little things that happened. And when I came to college, I mean, my roommates were scared out of their minds. because we would have all kinds of things happen. And I came to believe that it was him worried for my safety,
mm-hmm.
because it was things like, you know, I was trying to make a decision at one point about my boyfriend, and I would come into my room, and the song Girls Just Want to Have Fun would come on. And, of course, I took that as a sign that, yeah, this is not a committed relationship. But we would, you know, us girls would come home late at night from, you know, wherever we had been, and we'd, you know, we'd get home, and we'd walk in the room and sit down, and the locks would turn themselves.
They would turn themselves.
In both rooms.
Now,
yeah.
Now are these locks that you would physically, there's no other way?
You'd have to get up and turn it.
And they would turn themselves.
Right. Yeah.
What did your roommates, how did they feel about that?
Well, you know, my one roommate, she's hysterical. I mean, she's so funny, but, you know, we'd be laying in bed and we'd hear the locks go and she'd yell from the other room, "Tell your dad to get the heck out of my room."
So they started to believe it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I find this with people that have had these experiences. At first it might be creepy, and then it becomes more natural.
Yeah.
And in the long run, I think it's very natural.
Yeah, I think so too.
And do you believe, Mary, that all souls go on? Or do you believe that we all have the opportunity?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even after we pass?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you've led a wretched life, you still have an opportunity?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I came to that conclusion, I don't know how long ago, but when I did, boy, life was so much better. Not that I could go out and do rotten things.
Right.
But just the people that I lost that were close to me,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have to worry about them.
Right. Yeah.
I knew I would see them again or they'd be okay.
Well, and you know, I think that thought carried me through the whole, you know, the whole ordeal was that, you know, he was in a better place and, you know, eventually I'll see him again.
Yeah. And it all goes on forever, right?
Right, and you know, the other thing is when I realized, because I started to realize then, once I finally, I don't know if I got settled, I used to think it was because, you know, I had settled down with this person that I thought was going to be my mate for life, but you know how that turned out. So maybe souls are still wrong, maybe they can't see everything. But once I got settled, I knew what I was going to do as far as my college career, and I was happy in the relationship that I was in, and things were going well, I never had another thing happen again that I could attribute to him.
You know, and I hear that all the time, and the same has happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when they're done with their work, they move on, and you say, well, wait a second, how come this stopped here?
Yeah.
And it's just maybe for a short time, sometimes it could be a longer period. For you, in your life, it was several years.
Yep.
And it would be happening. It probably was him watching out for you, or a guardian angel, or...
Right.
I mean, there could be... But I would guess, you know, it's probably Dad.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, or maybe someone he sent or something, I don't know. You know, I just felt like once he figured that I was going to be okay, then he was gone.
Hmm. So. Mary, it's, you know, we're just about out of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how fast it goes.
I know.
Because when we converse, it's definitely back and forth, and
yes.
I don't have to ask you several questions. You can elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, your wit and your humor and your approach to things, it's very enjoyable to listen to.
You're very kind.
It's the truth. It's absolutely the truth, and I think you need to tell people that, you know, in life, because you don't know what tomorrow brings, right?
That's for sure.
Although I would probably haunt the hell out of you if I wasn't here. You know,
and I'd be going, TJ, get out.
What are you doing now, Mary?
Take a hike, brother.
You taking a bath? You'd really want me out of there.
Oh, funny.
Mary is my guest, and she's a wonderful person. And again, if you want to check out The Secret, just go Google it, or it's secret.com.
Mm-hmm.
Both her and I and everybody I know that's ever seen it, it's really had it. To me, it's like a kind of a, it's an inspirational, because you just hear so many good stories.
Yep.
But also it's kind of a how-to to take that next step and maybe bring in some good things. And why not? Why
really,
not be open to the possibility?
Nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
There's nothing to lose. So.
Mary, we're going to do this again.
All right. Thank you.
It's such a great pleasure talking to you.
I appreciate it. Thanks, TJ.
on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.